I enjoy watching an adventure TV series where the main character searches for lost places, people, things, civilizations, and other stuff. And in one episode, it was regarding the search for the tomb of Alexander the Great. And it's an older one that I was doing a rerun. But the main guide on this show was talking to, he was interviewing an Egyptian archaeologist about whether or not Alexander's tomb was in Egypt. And one of the comments this Egyptian archaeologist made was, it caught my attention. He basically said that Alexander the Great was the most influential person in all of the world. And I said, what? Really? I don't think so, because my Bible tells me different. And I believe you would agree with me if you'll take time. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? It's not Alexander the Great. It wasn't Napoleon. It wasn't any other person of the past. There's only one person that meets that category. The Bible records a chain of history of some of the major events from the beginning of humanity to the end of this planet, the end of this universe. And it's all under the control of one person. The Creator, God's perfect creation, was corrupted by sin, but He planned for it, He prepared for it, and He sent the Savior for humanity into this world in one man. That man's name is not Alexander the Great. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. It's not Cyrus the Great or any other human being. That man is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Son of God. He is the one who gives you everything. He is the one who owns everything. He is the one who has the future of your life in the palm of His hand. He is the one who determines where you will spend your eternity. Jesus Christ, Son of God. Before we go any further, read with me from John chapter 3, a passage that you're probably familiar with to a certain degree. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Pray with me at this time. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your great love expressed in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for this powerful passage that has been passed on from generation to generation, reminding us of Your great love, but also reminding us of the tragedy of neglecting Your love. We thank You for Jesus coming into the world. We would pray that if there are any here that have not accepted Jesus and made Him their personal master, that they would do so today. That they would receive the light, that they would walk in Your truth, that they would continue to grow in your righteousness. Help us all, because we all are frail, we stumble, we sin. The influences of this world are mighty and strong, but you are the greatest. You are the most powerful, and you have come to give us that strength and the redemption, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy, if we would just focus our minds on you to follow the light, Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us in these coming moments as we reflect upon this small portion of your scripture. Let us apply your word, your truth, your life to ours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been examining the Gospel of John for the last few weeks, and we will continue on. That's the plan. The Gospel of John was written by one of the men who spent 3.5 years, approximately, with Jesus Christ, watching him in his daily life, watching this man who was known at that time, Jesus of Nazareth, in his ministry. John was eyewitness to what Jesus did, proving that he is God in a human body, that he was God-man, who was crucified, then buried, but it didn't end there, did it? He was resurrected as well and glorified, and John was witness. So he writes these things down so that we would understand. In the closing of John's gospel letter, he writes in the close of chapter 20, chapter 21, these are written so that we would believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the greatest because he is Son of God and Savior for all humanity. We're going to look at basically John chapter 3 verse 16 in this sermon and talk about the greatest in all the aspects that are presented here that I could think of. And there are probably more that are out there if you will just focus on them and contemplate the greatness of Jesus Christ. My first point is, in John 3:16 and the following verses, presents the greatest promise to people. We have the greatest promise to people. God's word promises to save believers from eternal death. You may have heard that there are two sure things in life. Do you remember what they are? Death and taxes. Yeah, death and taxes. Well, guess what? Jesus defeated both of those. Jesus defeated death. And in the new life, how many taxes are there going to be? None. So those two things are not sure. Jesus is the sure thing. Jesus is the greatest thing. He has overcome death with his victory over the grave. Jesus cancels the grip of death on people who believe in him. He proved his power of life by raising several other people from the grave, and then he did it for himself as well, which we celebrate every Easter and today, and hopefully every single day if we are believers in Jesus Christ. The reason you live every day should be because Jesus gives you life. It's not because you created your own life. How many of you created your own life? Honestly. Be honest with yourself. No, that life was given to you. And it came from the Creator himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus promises to give us a perfect new home with God. God owns everything. And he absolutely needs nothing from us. And yet he has opened up the door for us to be privileged owners of what he has. But those who are blessed with eternal life will be expected to gladly serve him. And it will become our nature to lovingly serve God once we are with him in the presence of Jesus forever. John 3:16, the greatest promise to all people. Let's dissect that verse, John 3:16. For God is the greatest good. There is no other good, power, or presence other than God. He is the Eternal One, the Almighty One, who was, who is, and always will be. According to the Scripture, He is the Eternal One. God's nature sets the standard of what is good, for He is perfect and true in all things. Anything not meeting His approval is called corruption. And God promises that He's going to remove all corruption and only goodness will remain. God has given mankind His good standards in where? In the Bible, so that we can read the Scripture and learn what is good. He has used several methods, and He used about 40 different men through time to provide us the truths in writing. We don't have to guess on what is good. God tells us what is good in the Scripture. Those truths will last for how long? Forever, because they are part of God's nature. For God is the greatest good. For God so loved is the greatest action in this world. God is love in His very nature and being. We learn this over and over throughout Scripture, but specifically 1 John 4:7 through 16 tells us about God is love. He is the greatest giver that ever was or will be. Everything comes from Him. His perfect love reigns from Him and through Him, trying to infiltrate our hard-heartedness, our stubbornness, our bullheadedness, our corrupted nature. God's love wants to take over you. Are you letting the love of God dominate you? He wants to, for your benefit. God's Spirit dwelling in believers enables us to live like Him in His nature, which is centered on, guess what? Love, agape love, the godly love. And we are taught what that agape love is like in 1 Corinthians 13. We need to practice that love if we are servants of Jesus. The Spirit of God is given to all who obey the commands of Jesus. It is His power working in us that helps us to see Satan's deceptions and to defeat those deceptions. We don't have to go along and say, well, I'm just human. It's human nature. No, with God in us, through His Spirit, we are children of God, and God expects us to do our part in following His directions. God loves us. Don't abuse that love. What does He love? He loves the world. The world has the greatest need. In spite of all the efforts of medical and health professionals, in spite of all the entrepreneurs who are trying to make things better, build bigger buildings, do this and do that, every person dies. In spite of whatever the government is trying to do, no matter what dictator is in control, this world has the greatest need. The Bible explains why this happens, and it also tells us the remedy. What's the reason? Every man is being cursed with death because we have what? That three-letter word, sin. Sin has touched every one of us. Sin is the act of breaking one or more of God's perfect rules. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve who started that dreadful process. It flows through our veins, whether we like it or not. It touches us. Sin infects all humanity. Each person is accountable for their own sin. You will answer to God for your decisions unless His Son, Jesus Christ, protects you from the punishment that you deserve. The world is in desperate need. The fact that he gave is the greatest example. The general trend for humans is to be selfish. It shows up when we are first babies and learn how to talk. It's always, have you ever heard a little baby start this little process that says, mine, mine, mine. And unfortunately, there's a lot of adults who are still in that mode. Mine, mine. Until that chain is broken of selfishness, we're not going to grow very much, are we? Because how much do we really own? When you were born, did your mother have cars and houses and a vault of money come with the baby? And when somebody dies, how many of you have seen a train of a caravan of moving trucks behind the hearse? We brought nothing into the world and we will take nothing out. Nothing is mine. It all belongs to the greatest one. It all belongs to God. And we are temporary caretakers. God gives us our very life in the middle of His creation. And He expects us to learn His ways and His love. And then we are expected to begin to serve Him as well as serving the people around us. What are the two greatest commands? Love God with your entire being and love your neighbor as yourself. God provided the remedy for our sin before we even needed it. Before we realized we were sinners, before we were taught that we were sinners, God already took care of it. He gave the remedy that can heal every broken person. He gave the remedy that covers sin in the past, sin in the present, and sin in the future. What is that remedy? It's in the next phrase. His only begotten Son is the greatest sacrifice. John opens his gospel, that letter, explaining that Jesus is part of God, but He left His perfect home to make a path for us in a relationship that returns back to God. Jesus put on human flesh, even though He is part of God. He did so in obedience to the head part, which He refers to as our Father in heaven. And He is our Father in heaven, as well as the Father of Jesus. Jesus was submissive to Him. They, along with the Spirit, are the eternal God who loves people. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit loves us and continually sacrifices and gives to us and is faithful to us, trying to get us to listen to His grace and mercy. But it is especially displayed through His only begotten Son, that greatest sacrifice. Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice capable of paying for sin. Sin's debt was God-sized. For how many people? For all people. We're told that there are how many billion people in our world today? 8 billion? And that doesn't count the people who have already died and the people who are yet to be born. Billions and billions and billions of people. God loves every one of them. That song talking about the billions. If all creation is celebrating God, shouldn't we? We are part of the creation. The love of God reaches out to us to lift us up out of the corruption, to give us eternal life. Jesus was that only perfect sacrifice that could do that to cleanse us, to make us whole, to pay for all of our sin. God's love moved Jesus to pay the full sin debt of all humanity, even the worst, even me. His only begotten Son was the greatest sacrifice, the only perfect sacrifice. That whoever is the greatest invitation. Every person, no matter their ethnic background, their family life, their personal history, their financial status, their gender, their age, their present belief, God wants you to hear His invitation to experience His love through His Son. Jesus came to seek and to save all who are lost in sin. Sin blinds us. We think, I'm fine. I'm no worse than the person next to me. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But God says, sin has separated you from life. You need Jesus. All of us are separated from God because of sin. Mark 16:16 tells us, Jesus speaking, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. It's black and white. You're either for Jesus or you're against Him. You receive His life or you reject it. But you got to do it His way. You do not have to satisfy any man-made requirements. When you come to Christ, we aren't going to pull up your financial status and check, well, do you have $10 to your name or $10 million? We're not allowed to do that. We're not going to check on your social status. We're not going to be checking on your achievement standards. None of that will be taken into account. God looks at whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. We come to God filthy with sin, and He transforms us to become brand new people, to serve Him, to honor Him. That whoever is an invitation for all people. Whoever do what? We've talked about it already. Believes in Him is the greatest human response. God says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. We can't see Jesus Christ. We can't see God. God is Spirit. Jesus has ascended to be at the right hand of God. But we have the record of those who did see Him, who walked with Him, who ate with Him, who watched Him suffer the horrid destruction of His physical life through crucifixion, who saw Him come back to life. And they write those words so that we can believe the testimony of not just one, but several eyewitnesses. Belief in Christ is a growth process. It begins small, but should be growing. We may not understand all of His teachings, but we must believe that He who died for us wants us to be with Him, and He wants the best for us. God's Spirit will help us the more we read and study the Scriptures. The Spirit helps us through our weaknesses to be God's children, and He sets His seal on us as God's children. Believe in Jesus. That is your greatest response, and that belief will cause you to want to do more for your Redeemer. What happens to those who believe? They shall not perish is the greatest protection from terror. God has prepared a place of eternal condemnation for all of His enemies, starting with Satan and the powers of evil. not just Satan, but did you catch that? There are multiple powers, plural, of evil. And God has prepared a place of destruction for them. Scripture shows from the very beginning of man, God has repeatedly warned us to avoid listening to Satan so that we don't suffer his fate, so that we will not suffer with him. It's not going to be good. And yet people think, oh, I'm a servant of Satan. Ha, ha, ha. Look out. God has told us what a little bit about that. A lake of fire where you never perish, of darkness, of being with everything that is evil and corrupt, it will not be pleasant. Obeying the commands of Christ, the Son of God, protects us from that. Look back at John chapter 3, verse 21, in where it tells us we must practice the truth, the deeds pleasing to God. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Read through the Gospel of John and see the great testimonies of the pleading of Jesus calling himself the great shepherd and us the sheep. That was not a compliment. Sheep are dumb. And we are like dumb sheep. Just following whatever comes our way, falling into the ditch, falling off the cliff, getting tangled in the brambles. And what's going to save us? Only the good shepherd. We need his help, and he's willing to help us. But we have to be willing to accept his help. Little side story. Most of you know we have a little dog we've had about, oh, it's been 7-8 months now, Trixie. Trixie is her name, and I think that's exactly what she thinks she's supposed to do. She's supposed to trick everybody around her. When we call her name, you would expect her to come. What does she do? She runs the other way. You try to give her something, she looks at you like, is it poison? And we're all like that with God, unfortunately. God reaches out in his loving arms and he says, I want to help you. And what do? We run the other direction. We go to our sin. We hide in our corruption. And God says, I want to help you get better. I want you to enjoy good things. I want you to have everlasting life. Quit running away. Let's listen to the great shepherd. God requires obedience from those who approach him. His perfection will not allow any form of corruption to be close to him. We are able to approach God only through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from our sin. Remember, God's Son died to give you a chance to live. You think you're living now? You're wrong. True life only comes through Jesus Christ. Avoid the terror. Find peace in Jesus Christ. And that last phrase, but have everlasting life, is the greatest gift from God. God is our Creator. He loves us so much that He was willing to die. He is patient with us, but He warns us that there's a day where that patience will end. Grace and mercy will stop, and judgment is coming to sort out every human being. We will be either put into the sheep pen of the redeemed or the sheep pen of the lost. It will not be pretty, but it will be final. God created people in His image for us to be like Him. He walked and talked with Adam and Eve before sin entered the picture. And we are told that God will walk and talk with His redeemed in the perfection of eternity that is to come. We are promised to be able to be with Jesus forever. That's going to be fantastic. Don't neglect the blessings God has for you. Jesus is preparing a new home for all who will obey Him. It talks about it in verse 36, which we did not get down to. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Do you want God's wrath, or do you want God's blessing? All who obey Christ are promised new, imperishable bodies and the perfection of God. John 3:16 tells us of the greatest blessings from God. What is that again? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you haven't accepted God's gift of life through Jesus, please correct it today. Get it straight today. Make Jesus master. What are you living for? If you want life, go to the source, Jesus. Ask for help if you need some direction, explanation, correction, and we'll do all we can to help you because we want to get there too. And we'd love to have you be with us. I have a silly little story, but there's a point to it in the end. An elephant was thoroughly enjoying himself out in the water, just splashing away, bathing in the deep water. And he looked over at the bank, and along comes a little tiny mouse. And the little mouse is over there screaming and yelling, "Get out of the water!" And the elephant just ignored him, just continued to enjoy all the water. And the little mouse got angrier and yelled louder, "Get out of the water!" And the elephant finally decided, "Man, if I'm going to get any peace and quiet, I guess I'd better get out of the water and find out what this silly little mouse wants." So he crawls out of the water, this huge mountain of flesh, and he's standing over this little tiny mouse, and asked, "Why did you want me to get out of the water?" And the little mouse yells up, "I wanted to see if you had my bathing suit on." Ridiculous, right? And yet, it's easier for us to understand how an elephant could not wear a mouse's bathing suit than for us to understand the awesome mystery of God's love. Can you explain that? Why does God love you? Why does God love me? Why did He die for us? That love is tremendous. Don't throw it away. Father in heaven, help us to understand Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. Help us to not abuse Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. Help us to be fully committed to Jesus. Help us to rid ourselves of the corruption, the evil that You have warned us about. You've told us that anyone who practices these things will die forever. But You want to give us life forever. Help us to choose Jesus and You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.